He formulated a plan, and it was a plan of redemption. The problem with the plan was that God, and I could just describe him tonight a little bit, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, when you think about that scripture right there, I could look at this pulpit here tonight, and I can see the material that's in it. But if every void here tonight had light in it, we would all be vaporized. But thank God it's not that way. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we're to look upon him, we would instantly die. That's why the Bible says no man has seen God. No man has understood him or comprehended him, and let alone look upon him. And there's those that got close, like the Apostle Paul, who only described him as one that is brighter than the noonday sun. Praise God. I believe it's in Revelation. It talks about him being clothed in light. And that's our God. Amen. And thank God. It's exciting to know that we shall see him as he is. We see now darkly, but then face to face. Praise God. I want to see him face to face and let him put that revelation of who he is in my heart. Praise God. None of us can comprehend God, let alone look upon him. God knew that he could not get close to man in the sense of physical light. So he needed a go-between. He needed someone that would be a propitiation. He needed someone that would be a mediator. Yes. Amen. Yes. Someone that's in the middle. Yes. We're hearing a lot today about mediators. Praise God. It's someone that's in the middle between two parties.
Yes, sir.
And here is a holy God, and here is sinful man, and they can't get together without a mediator in between.
Yeah.
And praise God, that mediator was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
He was the mediator. He was the propitiation, the one that took he was the one that took on himself the sins of the whole world. Now you think about that, and I have met some sinners, and I myself was a pretty good sinner as far as sin goes. Well, praise the Lord. But he took all of my sins. And he took all of your sins, and he took all of the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
Praise God. And it's awesome. It's mind-bending when you begin to think about it. It'll literally blow your mind in a million pieces to try to figure out and to comprehend what God did in this plan of redemption. Praise God. And so he started with a child. He decided he was going to cover himself with flesh. He decided that he would make a child in the womb of a woman, and he himself would be the father of that child. Praise God. And so he needed that go-between, and instead he made a plan that would involve him himself. He's not a distant God, but he's a near God. And I have felt his presence here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God. He is a very near God. He's not so far away, but he came and robed himself to be like you and I, so that we could have physical, or not physical, spiritual relationship with him. Amen. What he needed was humanity that would be a shield to come between him and us, and that was our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He started when there was a conception. But how could a woman conceive without the natural process? Well, it couldn't, and it still can't. Amen. No matter what crazy people say. The seed in the virgin was not a natural seed, but it was a spiritual seed. It was the Word of God. That's why Jesus was called the Word of God in Scripture. Amen. And he started with that. Started with two parts. One part was him, and the other part was humanity. Amen. And a child began to grow in the womb of humanity, and there was a birth. Amen. On Christmas Day, he was born. Praise God. And it was a God-man, if you please, God who robed himself in humanity. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tonight. For great is the mystery of godliness, that God, everybody said God, God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. We'll just stop right there and think about that. The word manifest means to be seen. So God was seen in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Jesus was not just a man, he was God. He was a man because he was born of a woman, amen, as Scripture tells us. But he was God. And there were times that he spoke as a man, humanity, when he cried out on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He was speaking to his Father. And we're going to get into that here in just a moment. And then there were times that he would speak like the sick of the palsy and say, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they wondered within themselves, who can forgive sins but God only? Amen. They were almost to get the picture. Praise God. The one that they had there in front of them was the Almighty God, wrapped up in a cloak of flesh. Amen. All we could see was the flesh part, but God was in there. Amen. And it's amazing to me that the conception of Jesus Christ, God stepped into that woman when there was the conception. And we still believe that life begins at conception. That's where it begins. It doesn't begin down the road. Amen. And we have perverted it, and I'm afraid that the judgment of God is coming upon our country because of the murders. When they say it's just a fetus, friend, it's not just a fetus. It is a life. It is a human being. And it's a human being at the moment of conception. Amen. We believe that tonight. Praise God. And so the scripture says, let's see here, John chapter 1 and verse 1. I can quote this. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everybody said Word. Was God. Yes, the Word was God. And then in verse 14 of the same chapter, it says, I thought he's going to have that up there for me. And the Word was made flesh. Praise God. What a beautiful picture. What a simple picture. Amen. It's not complicated at all. And Jesus was now flesh and divinity at the same time. And he was with Jesus. He was in Jesus. And it says in John 14 and verse 28, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I." That was the man Jesus speaking right there. And he said, the Father is greater. He said, my Father, not the Father. My Father is greater than I. Amen. Praise God. I heard a story, read a story once about a king. And the king wanted to know how his servants felt about him. And so what he did was he robed himself, he dressed up like the common people, and he went out without any security guards or anything, and he walked among the subjects of his kingdom to hear what they said about the king. Amen. And in a very real way, in a very real sense of the word, this great God that we serve tonight robed himself in humanity. And I'm looking at humanity here tonight. I'm looking at a robe of flesh. And the day is going to come, friend, when we're not going to be in the flesh anymore. Praise God. The Bible says we'll be like him. Amen. Because we will see him as he is. We will have our glorified bodies that will never get sick, never get tired, Marcus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And not have to deal with situations and circumstances in life that come against us. Amen. Because there's no situation with God that catches him by surprise. Amen. God knows everything. He's got everything figured out ahead of time. And that's a comfort tonight to know that. Praise the Lord. And so he said, the Father is greater than I. Our God did that very same thing when he robed himself in flesh. And so when we talk about it here tonight, I want to get to the point. I'm not going to be very long. But when we look at it tonight, how could we believe that God is a Trinity? Right. Now think about it tonight. How could God be a Trinity? Well, first of all, the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible anywhere. And you tell someone that believes in the Trinity that, and they say, well, the concept is there. Well, I'm not going to follow a concept. I want to follow truth, because the truth will make you free. Praise God. It's a great witnessing tool when you talk about that. And the Trinitarian doctrine has quite a bit to it. Very complicated, but it says that God is co-powerful, co-existent, all-knowing. That means Father, Son, Holy Ghost are three distinct persons and three personalities. They come up with all kinds of stuff, like an egg. There's the shell, the yolk, and the white part. Amen. That's what God is. Well, I'm sorry. That's not what God is. Right. Brother Micah, God's not an egg. No. Right. Now, we might be an egghead, but well, praise the Lord. Very true. He said the Father said, or Jesus said, that the Father is greater than him. And so if you have three separate gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, is what they call it, then they cannot be divided in their power. Cannot be divided in their power. Amen. Especially when Jesus says that the Father, or God the Father, is greater than I. He could not be a part of the Trinity and make that statement. But there is no such thing as a Trinity. Amen. And my pastor used to say it this way. He would say, if there is a Trinity and they get into an argument, then they're going to fight for a long time because they have equal power. Yeah. But that's not the way it is, friend. Amen. It states, the doctrine of the Trinity states that God is coexistent, that all three members of this Godhead is coexistent, meaning they all existed at the same time. But if you look at that, you look at the wording in the scriptures, God is called the Father. He is called my Father. And he taught us how to pray and start off by saying, my Father, which is in heaven. So he's my Father as well. Amen. And so when you look at this here tonight, in a Trinitarian sense of the word, you get very, very confused. But I want you to know, and I want to hear tonight, that God is not divided. There's only one God, and he was the Father of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. He was the Father of Jesus Christ, just as I described a few moments ago. And when you are dealing with someone that believes in the Trinity, you could just ask them simply, who was the Father of Jesus Christ? Who was the Father? Amen. It makes a big difference what you believe tonight. But Matthew chapter 1, I believe it's 20 and 21, it says that the Holy Ghost was the Father of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now you got to look at that. That's a pivotal scripture right there. If the Holy Ghost, and it was the Father of Jesus Christ, every time that Jesus said, my Father, the Father, or any reference to his parent, and that's what the word father means in the original. It means a parent. Amen. Brother Deontay, you are a father. Amen. Brother Charlie, you are a father. We've got some wannabes here tonight. You got to get married first. Brother Greg, Brother Troy, Brother Josh, and all those that are not here. Oh, there's Dennis back there hiding. Praise the Lord. When you look at this, the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus Christ. And how many spirits are there then in Scripture? Are there... God the Father is a spirit, and God the Holy Ghost is a spirit. Then you have two spirits, but Scripture tells us plainly there's only one spirit. We are baptized into one body, praise the Lord, by one spirit. There's not two spirits. Amen. And my pastor, again, I'm using him as an example tonight. He was talking to a Trinitarian preacher, and he asked him, he said, what did he say? Praise the Lord. He asked him and he said, if the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus, who is God the Father of? And the man got confused and he said, I guess he's the grandpa. But we don't have a grandpa God tonight. We have a great mighty God. Well, praise the Lord. And he became flesh. He became a father or a parent, if you please. And this word or this concept or this truth tonight speaks of a begetter. Somebody say that with me tonight. Begetter. Begetter. Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. So he was a begetter. He was the Father. Amen. And if we look at the doctrine of the Trinity, that they are three coexistent gods, then how can you have a Father and a Son? It's impossible. That's like saying that I am a father, but me and my son are the same age. It's an impossibility. By the very nature of the words, the terminology, the begotten is younger than the begettor. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know if those are real words, but we'll have to check with Tessa tonight about that. But you get the point, I hope. Praise God. And so much of this triune Godhead is contrary or conflicts with Scripture. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Where does this all come down to? Well, there is one place in the New Testament where it talks about the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. And that's in water baptism. But we don't baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the sense that we say that. Because when you say that at baptism, you are actually literally being baptized into a Trinity. And I don't want to be baptized. I don't want to put my salvation in the hands of a false Trinity. Amen. That was born almost 2,000 years ago. Well, praise the Lord. Matthew 28:19. What is the name? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Everybody said a child. Unto us a son is given. Everybody said a son. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, not a Mighty God, but the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. Yes. Now you've got to contemplate that a little bit to get the full understanding of it, or at least a partial understanding. He was talking about a child that would be born, and the child would be the Everlasting Father. In other words, he would be God. He would be God robed in flesh. And that's an Old Testament scripture. I don't know how the Jews have missed these. Amen. But that's exactly where it is. And so when we look at Matthew 28 and verse 19, where he said, baptize in the name of the Father. The name of the Father, according to Isaiah 9 and 6, is Jesus. Amen. And the Father was the Holy Ghost. So the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Amen. And of course, we know the name of the Son is Jesus. Praise God. Well, I hope it helps you a little bit. I just have a difficult time these days, and some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. because I love to hoop and holler and blow snot and scream. Praise God. I was pastoring a church in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and one of the elderly men come up to me, and he said, "Boy, I thought you were going to eat that microphone tonight." And it deflated me. I was feeling pretty good, and it deflated me back to reality. Praise the Lord.